Salam and hello, everyone. My name is Lily Bekele Piper, and as always, I am so honored that you've joined us today. Before I get into the show, I just want to ask something simple. If you can believe it, we're already here, you know, mid-March. It's just wild, almost done with Q1 of the year. And there are so many new friends that are following and engaging with our show. And just a huge hello to all of you. So happy you found us. And I would love it if all of you, new and old friends alike, would just take a moment and share the show. It is the number one best thing you can do for us. Share our content on social media, text it to a friend, share it from whatever app you listen to, follow and subscribe. It's usually up in that top right-hand corner, or on YouTube, it's right below the video. The sharing, the engaging, the following, all of that just helps us stay afloat. And seeing so many new faces and hearing your voices in the comments just lifts us every time, and we need your help. We need your help to stick around. So please share the show, like it, subscribe to it, all that good stuff. It really, really helps. Okay, let me talk about what I want to talk about today. We have been talking to really great minds and great thinkers in 2024. It's been just a highlight for me to talk to some of my literary heroes like Edgewise Dantika, to meet inspiring entrepreneurs from Ethiopia, in particular Kaleb and Kudus, who have been on the show recently. And in the middle of all those stories, like all of you, we have been witnessing some of the hardest moments in the world. And since the start of the year, it has just felt so heavy beyond the stories that we're telling. You know, at Salam and Hello, we really try and focus on joy and justice. We are intentionally not going to put out stories that perpetuate stories of trauma. We do not think trauma is entertainment. So we try to be very careful about the lens with which we tell stories and who we invite on the show. But I have just felt waves of hopelessness in 2024. Watching the heartache in DRC, in Ethiopia, in Sudan, in IAT just this week, the ongoing loss of life in Palestine has just shattered my heart. And it's very unlike me to be quiet, as you know, here I am talking to you, but I have felt quiet in my soul, just a withdrawal from people. That's what it's felt like. The hopelessness has felt like an isolation. And it's been hard, it's been heavy. In our families' lives and our friends' lives, there's been so much loss. Two friends have lost dear loved ones to them just this last week. We have felt personal loss in our family, and it's just felt like, this year has just gone on too long. I saw a meme somewhere like mid-February where someone was like, why does January have so many days this year? And I really resonated with that sentiment. But a few days ago, I had a phone call that kind of just woke me up from my hopelessness. And that's what I wanted to talk to you about today. So as you know, I have a family that is spread across the diaspora, some in Nairobi actually, some in Ethiopia, and a good number of my family is in the diaspora in the United States. And I got a FaceTime call from one of my nephews the other day, and I have to say, I just need to be a better, like, long distance auntie, you know? Like, I'm a great in-person auntie, I'm the one who shows up with gifts and all that stuff, but I am not always the best long distance auntie, so I need to do better on that. But my nephew called, and I was just so happy because I actually could pick up. And he turned on the camera, and I saw his face, and he's like, Auntie Lily, I lost my teeth. And he smiled this beautiful smile and showed me the huge gap in the front of his mouth where his two front teeth were now missing. If you have the pleasure of knowing any kids around that 5, 6, 7, 8 window, it is like the cutest moment in their lives when they don't have those front teeth, like nothing sounds the same, it's all lispy, it's just so sweet. And anyway, we go on, we talk about it, he's showing me all the different angles to his teeth. And you know, 3 minutes later, after this phone call started, I felt better. It was so funny, it was like such a small thing, a small joy. There's this great book by Cindy Spiegel called Micro Joys, and that's what it felt like, a micro joy that he gave me in that moment that completely lifted my spirit. And I wondered if I just needed to actually look around to be better engaged with all the ways that micro joys and micro hopes were finding their way to me. So I started to keep a small journal, and there was a book a few years ago that kind of inspired this practice. It was by one of my favorite authors. Her name is Anne Lamott. She's a bit of a spiritual teacher. She wrote a book called Help Help, thanks, wow. Yeah, I think that's right. Help, thanks, wow. And basically you said these were three essential prayers for life. Help, thanks, and wow. And I realized so much of my heart had been sitting in the help column, like feeling desperate for help for personal, local problems and huge global heartaches. My heart has just been so heavy. So I started to look for these small, little local wows and even big global wows to kind of offset the lack of hope that was sitting in my heart. And truly, truly, as soon as I started looking, they were just all around me. My mom had a knee replacement, like a brand new knee. Like in 2024, you can get brand new knees. That's just crazy to me. It's crazy to me to think that coming from the continent where complex surgeries for my grandparents were not available, that in this year, my mom can be relieved of, you know, years of pain and get a brand new knee. Just a miracle. I made a goal for myself to eat mostly vegan and vegetarian in February, and I actually did it. Like, I actually hit a goal. I know that sounds small, but people, let me tell you, I'm not the biggest carnivore, but I need some protein in my life. And somehow I did that whole thing February. I hit my own goal. It was amazing. My friend Sally, she celebrated her 40th birthday. And at her birthday party were these two dear friends of hers who flew in all the way from another country to spend time with her. And just hearing the story of how they met and their friendship, it just filled me with joy. I was like, these kind of friendships exist in abundance for the people I love. I just was so touched by that. Another friend, Pamela, is training to hike Kilimanjaro next week. Like, I'm just watching this woman conquer her own mountains day by day. It's beautiful to watch. What else? Last month, we had family who we had not seen in 8 years come and visit us. My husband's aunt and uncle, cousins come. We have not seen them in 8 years. In fact, they'd had a kid since we saw them last, who we met when she was like 6 months old, and we'd never seen her since, and we got to hang out with her. That was amazing. Like, just having that family time was so, so precious. My dad in Ethiopia, you know, has made a new connection in his research and a way to maybe partner. And that partnership is with somebody I met through my show, through Salam and Hello, that I got to introduce him with, Kudus from Cubix. I mean, just seeing those two great minds meet filled me with joy, filled me with hope. And so today, dear friends, dear listeners, I am just presenting to you the case for hope. I know it sounds so cliche, but we're going to start a series of conversations over the next few months, giving you the case for different topics, a platform, if you will, an agenda, a manifesto for some ideas that we think are really important. We're going to be talking to Maya Masika from The Sifter about the case for truth, the case for truth in Ethiopia in particular. She's a freelance journalist bringing together stories from across the country for her readership so that they can find the truth in the midst of a lot of different news sources. We're going to be talking to an old friend who I've just reconnected with, which is so great, Ongeshi, who's written a book called Good Housekeeping, which is all about the rights of domestic staff and house help. And it's going to be the case for domestic equity for these group of people that we really depend on to keep this continent working. Like 80% of the continent is in the informal sector. I cannot wait to have that conversation with her. We're going to be talking to a few more people that I won't mention here. I'll just make sure you come back and listen. But each one of these people in their own way are giving us a case for hope. And so I just want to invite you along, invite you to come and look for the micro joys, the micro hopes in your life. I think you'll find them more than you thought. My husband, Ben, is, I would say, between the two of us, the optimist. I'm a pretty cheery person, but he's the optimist. And that can be surprising because he's also a data person. He is really committed to the numbers. He will tell you the numbers do not lie. So recently he was just telling me the same thing. He's like, you know, the world is not as dark as we think it is. There's so much out there. And he shared this incredible site with me that I got to share with all of you, because you need to go on there just today and just like see it. It's a site called Worldview Upgrader. I'm going to link it in the show notes. You go on there and you pick a topic or a country, and it'll ask you a bunch of questions. And then you'll try and guess the answer. So, for example, one thing that I did, I went to the Africa section, then I dialed it down into Ethiopia, and then it had like five questions for me. And what it shows you is a question around a data point, and then you respond, and then it tells you whether or not your response was in the global average for that response. So for example, the question I did was, what's the life expectancy of Ethiopia? And they had, I think, three bands. It was like 50 years old, 60, 70. And I put around 50. That's just what I thought. Was I right? I was not. It was amazing. So the life expectancy in Ethiopia from the data from 2019 is 69 years old. That is so much older than I thought. In the US, by comparison, is only 77. And so then when you go further down into that data point, it tells you, why does this matter? Where's the source for this information? What's the implication when we misunderstand how good or bad things are in the world? And it's just this incredible sight that just shows you that if we only look at the disparities and the lack, or we think that the data is telling us that story, then it actually keeps us from engaging in meaningful and impactful ways, because we'll just automatically disqualify people or ideas because we don't have the right information, and perception has clouded reality. So you've got to go on that site. It was just amazing. It just, from every country, every topic you can think about, from infrastructure to climate to health, there's all this data, and you can, you know, see how you do, see how you rate compared to everybody else in the world who was asked this question. And then the beautiful thing is they give you the source, so you can actually go and check the information yourself and see that it's accurate. So as I was going down that rabbit hole with him, I was just like, okay, there's got to be other sources. And I found this Twitter feed. Okay, X, whatever. It's X now. African Good News, which just gave me all this data. And they were retweeting other good news from around the continent. So I found out through them that over 90% of electricity in Kenya is renewable energy. Brilliant. I mean, Kenya is so far ahead the rest of the world. Was that need born out of a lack of infrastructure? Yes, it was. But was it done anyways? It absolutely was. And it's changing lives, the fact that communities were able to innovate on the ground. I happened to stumble across the Lesotho Tourism Board. Oh my goodness. I had no idea Lesotho was so beautiful. Just, I was totally captured and lost, you know, 15 minutes of my life going through their tourism page. I read about the rollout of malaria vaccines this year that are happening. And they are finding, who was reporting this? I'll again link all of this in the show notes. They were reporting that there's a new malaria vaccine that's being rolled out. RTS,S is the name of the vaccine campaign. They're finding that it's not only preventing malaria deaths, but unexpectedly, it's also reducing other kinds of death among children by 13%. So a vaccine that was designed to treat malaria is now also helping cure other diseases or preventing death. Amazingly good news. Hadn't heard about it, hadn't seen it in my headlines, and there it was. Just one thing after another of just sources of like just beautiful moments where I just thought, you know what, I'm gonna believe that things can get better. I'm gonna believe that there's actually goodness in this world. And it really reminded me of the words of Desmond Tutu, Archbishop Desmond Tutu, a Nobel Peace Prize winner from South Africa, who said, discovering more joy does not save us from the inevitability of hardship and heartbreak. In fact, we may cry more easily, but we will laugh more easily too. Perhaps we are just more alive. Yet as we discover more joy, we can face suffering in a way that ennobles rather than embitters. We can have hardship without becoming hard. We have heartbreaks without being broken. I just love that. I love the simplicity in what he offers us. That in fact, maybe we're just more alive when we feel all of the heaviness, but we also dig and find the hope that there is as well. So dear listeners, tune in for the next couple of weeks where we try to offer you a lens into hope through the stories of some incredible people, also everyday people just doing good work wherever they are. I think you'll really be lifted. I think your hope tank will be filled. And I really hope that you'll tune in and that you'll share it with people around you, and that together we'll just be more alive. I hope that sounds good to you. So thank you for joining us. You know where to find us. Send us your ideas on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. If you've got an idea for somebody we should talk to, or if you want to make a case for something, an idea, please do. We'd love to hear from you. It's lily@salamandhello.com or producer@salamandhello.com. We would love to hear from you. And until then, tune in next week when we start our new series, The Case For. It's going to be a lot of fun. I hope you'll join us. Peace.